Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack live out here at Falcons training camp. Please welcome in Mr. Wide Receiver 1, Drake London. Let's start here, Drake. First of all, thanks for hanging out with us. Year 4, what changes? I'm talking about the unloading procedure. I'm talking about moving into the dorm. You've been around these facilities for years now. I'm not talking about the on the field. I'm talking about the car you drive in, where you're parking. What's different here in year 4 that got you feeling comfortable?
Really nothing. I don't really see anything that's different. Just excited to play some football and finally be back out here with the guys. Yeah.
Drake, last year you really showed the world. They look at me, the NFL world, and I have people come up, they're listeners, and they'll tweet us and everything. They'll be like, man, Drake's going to have a breakout season this year. And I said, hell, he had 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. How do you break out over that? But to that point, how do you go in the offseason after having a year like that and say, oh, wait, I got to find holes in my game and work on and get better, and then to eclipse that big season that you had last year?
Exactly that. Just work on the little nuances that I see in the film room and on the field with myself that I could get better at is the biggest thing. And then to just go out there and prove the doubters wrong at the end of the day. It's kind of a trend right now that I keep on going underrated and just flying under the radar, and I'm okay with that. I'm not really a big public guy anyway, so it's totally fine with me. But, you know, I have to go out there and prove every year, and that's my goal every year.
Well, it is day one of training camp, so back to work, and clearly you guys are working hard. But what did you do in your off season? Did you get into anything fun?
No, I'm not a big traveler. My traveling is going back to Cali, where that's home base. So go back, see family, and hang out. That's pretty much it.
Falcons wide receiver Drake London hanging out with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Look, we're going to get into a little more football. We'll have a little more fun in just a second. Year 4 for you, fourth time in 4 years you've had a different starting quarterback in week one. How do you find the continuity? Because it's really incredible. We've seen the ups and downs, and hey, bad situation at quarterback, different offense coordinator, different head coach. You've been pretty consistent over your career. What do you give credit to for that?
I don't know who to give credit to, but just see ball, get ball. I don't really care how it's thrown. As long as it's in my vicinity, then I'm going to go get it, you know? So that's my whole mentality. And
understanding of the playbook, things like that. I mean, it just comes naturally.
I mean, yeah, there's days that I have to go in and really study with the coaches and get with the quarterbacks and figure out those little things that I have to do to make the playbook just that much better and more understandable for me. But other than that, I see ball, go get ball.
What do you think those conversations have been like so far with Michael Penix trying to get comfortable with him?
They've been great, you know. And really, he's the same way. He just wants to throw the pigskin, and I just want to catch it. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
Well, to that point with the different guys, what's the adjustment like for that? Because you guys switched midseason, so you adjust on the fly. Because everybody throws it. You know, these guys are different. Kirk goes a different ball than Penix does. And how's the adjustment? Because Penix, man, he's got a freaking laser. That thing comes out quick.
Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes it caught me off guard. But other than that, it's just catching a football at the end of the day, and I try to keep it as simple as that because that's what it is. I don't try to overcomplicate things.
You guys did an off-season, during the OTAs and stuff, you did an off-season video that was on the .com for the Falcons, and they were with you, and you had just found out they picked up your fifth-year option, and your reaction was so pure, so cool about just what it meant to you about, you know, that it was almost like, hey, we notice what you're doing, how valuable you are to our team.
Yeah. Again, how I said earlier, I kind of fly under the radar on a lot of people's whatever you might say it is. So for them to notice it is a huge thing, especially the facility that, or the organization that drafted me and believed in me from the get-go. So it means a lot to have them do that for me and want to keep me here.
Well, I'm going to ask another fun question. Who are you rooming with out here at training camp?
I got Mooney, Ray Ray, and Cadell Hodge.
All right. I know it's only been one day, but who's the messiest out of them?
Who's the messiest? Now we're all clean. We're all good.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, we run a strict regimen in that dorm right there.
Yes. Let's say on that topic, Drake London hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Talk to me about the locker room a little bit, and that's a big thing. When I was here playing, it was, you know, who's on the aux corps. I think, you know, we had William Moore some days. Asante Samuel stepped in. That's the senior, not the junior that, you know, everybody's familiar with now. Who's on the aux these days? I mean, what kind of music are y'all listening to in the locker room? What are the vibes like? Is it muted in the morning, or is somebody waking y'all up, getting things bumping in the early days?
It depends on who puts some music on, but it's usually JB, Jesse Bates, who usually puts some stuff on. It's really the defensive guys who kind of run the music. Yeah, pretty much. So now they put on some smooth stuff. You know, we have some Drake in there, Lil Baby, little stuff like that. So, yeah.
You any concerts or anything this off season? I know you said you didn't do much, but there's been a lot of acts, obviously in California and Atlanta too.
Yeah, no, I don't really go to concerts or anything like that. I
stay low key, man.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I wanted to ask, this is a goofy camp question. We did it last year. Last year you were phenomenal with the guardian cap answer. But what's Drake London's spirit animal?
Spirit animal?
Yeah, you know, what animal do you relate to in the animal kingdom?
Oh, for sure, a lion. I mean, what is it? Astrology. I'm a Leo, so I guess a lion. Yeah.
That's Drake London right there. Very cool to talk to him yesterday at Falcons training camp. 7:06, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. How did you guys feel about talking to Drake London yesterday? I mean, clearly they don't have a messy dorm is what I gathered.
I also took away a huge chip on his shoulder. And you know, he mentioned multiple times, like I like flying under the radar because it feeds me. You know, he said it multiple times, and then his spirit animal is a lion, and he has become a very aggressive on the field. I don't know if you remember, but the Penix interception last year in his first game where Pitts bobbles it and the guy takes it back. London's the one that made the tackle and then got in a fight. And he has got, I hate that, you need the dog in him or whatever. I just can't stand when people do that because it's so cliche. But he definitely has, he's that kind of football player that's soft-spoken, nice off the field. But when he steps in those lines, I mean, dude just turns into a different kind of human being.
I would use the term tone setter. Like, to me, he's the tone setter for this offense, right? When he has his hands on the football, he's going to drag down three and four people. And, you know, he's gonna bring the physicality. Tyler Algier is that to an extent, but he's not the starting running back right now.
Yeah.
Right? And Tyler Algier is going to deliver that kind of backup blow. To me, Drake London is the tone setter for this offense. And I think in a lot of ways, and you actually heard Michael Penix talk about this just a little while ago, and he was talking about the Darnell Mooney setting up the passing camp they did out in California. So I think Darnell Mooney is a little bit of a leader, you know, in terms, not that Drake isn't, but I think Drake, what he brings to that wide receiver room, and I think they just kind of coexist in that way as leaders, but he just brings that physicality and that tone setter attitude of really, you know, kind of setting this offense forward in terms of delivering a blow to the defense. And I think that's awesome when you have a passing attack that can feature a wide receiver that is going to, I think Mike Evans has been that way a lot of his career of like just bowling into people. There's been a number of other people throughout the NFL that do that, but Drake London is that guy. So, yeah, I felt a very business-like attitude from him yesterday. That's why I wanted to ask the question about year four. Like, how do you find the consistency? He is very business-like. He's not a guy he knows exactly what he is.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that about him.
Well, and, you know, I did have someone like tweet me and say, I think he's going to have a breakout year. I'm like, dude, I think last year was his breakout year. But it's hard when you achieve something to keep the same drive that you had before. How does he build on that? And look, we can talk all we want, and I'm not trying to be negative on day two of training camp, but we always give Kyle Pitts this pass because he's played with all these different quarterbacks. But no one ever talks about the fact that Drake London's went through the same thing but didn't have a year of Matt Ryan, and look at how well he has done.
Yeah, he's been exceptional, and it is funny too because when you and I first got on air and we started having conversations about Drake London,
we argued about it.
I didn't know what he was, and I think that his role, they've given him the ability to really transform the role that he has offensively. He was, to me, I think a lot of times during his rookie year, it was like, hey, this is a wide receiver one. He's going to be a guy that can stretch the field. That's not who he is. He's not a stretch the field wide receiver. And I think that a lot of times when you looked at Drake London and what this offense could be, it's like, oh, you got to stretch field, you know, this, that, and the other. He's going to really stretch. That's not what he is. And I think he's settled in so nicely over the last 2 years, but specifically last year, with what his skill set is. Remember we talked to him about it last year.
Yeah.
Who's the fastest wide receiver? He's like, it ain't me. That's not my game.
Yeah,
that's not what I play.
But he's quick. And he wanted to talk about his quickness. So when they drafted him, a lot of what people what I felt that they were talking about was of his physicality and contested catches, and he could catch the ball, you know, in a tight. If you could throw in a tight window with him where he's blanketed and he's going to squeeze it and hold on to it, and that's exactly what he's been. But I think, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember you and I debating. I want to say arguing, but going back and forth. Not on the air, but like at Price Field, about if he could be physical enough. And I think you underestimated his physicality a little bit because he's tall, but he doesn't look.
He's lean.
He doesn't. Slender. He doesn't look like a towering physical presence as far as, you know, like size. And he doesn't look like he's a you know, some of these guys look like bodybuilders, right? Like they just look like. They're chiseled out.
Very vascular. Julio, you see every muscle fiber in their shoulder.
Julio is chiseled out of stone.
Well, and so Drake London is 6'4", 214.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Right.
He's a big dude. I saw yesterday.
Julio Jones was 6'4", 230 for reference. Maybe 6'3", 230.
That's a big difference.
Julio Jones was the most physically gifted person I ever met in my life. Ever. Like, he had veins in his shins. It was, I swear.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not making that up. It was crazy. His shins looked like a Rand McNally roadmap. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, dude, what? This guy came straight out of a factory.
Yeah. No, he's not. I've never seen, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen anyone run routes like Julio Jones.
Violent.
That's why his body didn't hold up. It wasn't that he didn't take care of himself. And now I say didn't hold up, and he still played like 10 or 11 years in the NFL at a high level for most of those. But he ran so violently. He would stop and cut, and it was all like one just violent movement. And with the speed that he ran on. But I tell you, a guy that I looked at yesterday, Mike, and I was like, oh, he's big. It's James Pierce Jr. And not in a like, a different way than both the guys we just talked about. He kind of, forgive me for the comparison, but he kind of, I look out there and he kind of reminds me of the way Pitts is like physically like bigger than most of the guys and just looks different in that kind of way. I think he's more chiseled than Pitts, believe it or not, but he was bigger than I thought he was.
So 6'5", 243.
Yeah, but that 243... When you hear 6'5", and you hear 243, you think he's a little bit scrawnier than he actually is. He's lean, don't get me wrong, but I thought he was bigger than I thought he would.
Here's the other thing, though, about that. He's listed, I think he's probably listed bigger than Leonard Floyd.
Dude,
Leonard Floyd was massive yesterday.
Yeah, I don't
know. Like, I was looking at him going, no, dude, like everything that you read about Leonard Floyd is like, he's 6'3", you know, 235, 240. Nah, dog. Like, that's a big old dude.
So,
like, that was the biggest dude on the field. He looked like, you know, when I looked at Leonard Floyd, who I thought about? I thought about Calais Campbell. That's what Calais Campbell
is a big dude.
Calais is obviously thicker, way thicker. But when you look, like, that's how imposing it felt like looking at Leonard Floyd yesterday.
I'll give a little inside, you know, behind the scenes. Like, I was standing on the sidelines, and this guy walks by me, player walks by me with no helmet on. And I just look up, and I see this big-ass dude walking by me. I'm like, so I turn, and it was Leonard Floyd. And I was like, okay.
Just imposing.
I always thought Leonard Floyd was leaner.
I just expected him to look like Lorenzo Carter. And maybe that's just my mind playing tricks on me.
Zoe's a big dude.
I know he is, but like to me, and like you said, you were talking about James Pierce being a big dude, and he was. But I thought Leonard Floyd yesterday was the biggest dude on the field. Like, just looking at him from the sideline, you're like, Jesus, look how long that guy is. Woo!
Jalen Walker, when you first get a look on him, I was like, I actually thought he would be taller. Even though I knew what he came in at height-wise, I still thought he'd be a little bit bigger. But, dude, but again... It sounds weird because you're talking about dudes and like their bodies.
I know what you're about to say.
But, I mean, he's
careful
a specimen.
Yeah. What I was going to say is his trunk.
Yeah,
his
I know.
His trunk, like,
I stopped
from his
short.
Hips down, you're like,
I wasn't
man,
gonna
that is
it.
A, that's a, hate using the word thick.
You know, thick dude, what's funny is I remember years ago.
Thick dude.
I know. Hearing music, but years
hey,
ago.
Hey yo.
Years ago, I was with John and he were doing the morning show, and I was their producer, and we would go to the locker room every Wednesday. We get back on a Thursday, and John goes,
Tevin Coleman didn't have his shirt on, and man.
And we were like, what?
Yeah, calm down.
Yeah, right. Freaky.
Calm
all right,
down.
John Freaky.
Hey, yo.
Yes. And dude, we gave him hell forever, but all he was trying to say was he didn't think he would be that big. I mean, when you're looking at a dude in the locker room and your comment on here is bigger than I thought.
You got to be creative in the way you word things. We're going to continue.
Or just don't say them.
That was a big pause segment.
We're going to continue talking about Falcons training camp. There is one rookie that we haven't talked about yet that made quite an impression yesterday. I think it was the first thing that Mike leaned over to me and goes, hey.
Check that out.
Do you see him out there?
Wow.
We'll get into that next. And we'll also go in the huddle and talk about the injury that was or wasn't as big of a deal. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I do like the tunes today. They're a little bit different, Dylan.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
We had Ataris before. Now we got some Bon Jovi.
I mean, I'm just, you know, keeping you all on your toes. That's what I do.
Just thought you were going to say, just vibing out.
Just, you know, vibing out here.
Vibing out. It's a Friday.
I feel like I have a pretty good gauge of what each of you like now, so I try to mix in a little bit of
that's
something.
That's
not
true.
Oh, no?
You didn't play anything I like.
Oh. What do you like, Mike?
Country music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grab some Jason Aldean for him. Yeah.
Not really so much Aldean, a big Eric Church.
I got to find some upbeat country.
I was
going to
say.
You.
And I can get with you on that. Luke Combs, things like that.
Yeah, Luke Combs is good. Yeah. I could send you a few songs. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are vibing out. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan. We're going to go in the huddle in a moment, talk about Justin Fields and the range of emotions that went on when that news broke yesterday. But Mike, tell everyone who you saw hanging out with the starters and vets yesterday at Falcons training
camp. This was my biggest takeaway from day one. Like, without question, my biggest takeaway from day one, because we walk out there and they're doing a split field practice. And I think there is a quickness within the Falcons media community to look at it and say, oh, these are starters and these are guys, you know, this field is starters and these guys are trying to make the roster. It's just, we talked about it earlier with Jordan Fuller. You don't know that. It's mostly going to be what we used to call in college upperclassmen and frosh. All right, upperclassmen being obviously what a lot of people would look at on the field and say those are ones and twos. But it also comes down to numbers at positions. If you don't have a center to play on field two, then you probably aren't going to bring him over to field one, right? You're going to have to bring Javon Gwynn or whoever else over. Billy Bowman, when we stepped out at practice yesterday, was the only rookie on the veteran field initially. The only rookie. And was out there running with the first team in the secondary at the nickel spot. And look, like I said, I think a lot of the takeaways from that period of practice are overblown. But that one spoke to me because I was like, it means something to me that you could have easily, at a position like corner, you could have easily slid him over the other field and said, well, you know what, he needs to get over here. And just the fact that Billy Bowman, of all people, and look, Jalen Walker wasn't on this field at this time. James Pierce was not on this field at this time. Xavier Watts was not on this field at this time. Billy Bowman was in next to Jesse Bates, next to A.J. Terrell, next to Mike Hughes, next to all those other people on field one. And you had every reason not to put him there, and Billy Bowman was over on the field. It's the first – I mean, my eyes were glued. I was like, oh, God. Oh, that's the first thing that I wanted to see. What rookies are over on this field? Billy Bowman was the only one at that point.
We did the draft show the day he was drafted. You and I were on the air when he was drafted. And what did we say from day one? That he was going to come in here and fight for the nickel spot because that's kind of what he played in college. He played, I think they call it the star in that Oklahoma defense, Brent Venables defense, and it was a nickel position. But because he had played safety, I'm like, oh, he's a safety. He's going to – him and Watts are going to fight. He is going – there's a very good chance that he is starting nickel come week one. Very good.
And to be sure, I've always looked at the star position, whatever you call it, with whatever your defense calls it, as kind of a nickel safety hybrid.
Yeah.
Can be a box player, mm-hmm. but also good in coverage on the slot and things like that. Not afraid to step up and set the edge, make a tackle. But, man, like, I know you probably felt the same way I was, looking, and I talked to Arch a little bit about this too, it's like, that means something to me, that where he lined up on the field and at what point in practice. I'm talking about the very first initial drill. He was the only rookie to be on the field with that group that he was with on the defense.
Remember when we were talking about camp battles and was it Monday or Tuesday? And we talked about the kick returner, and you said D. Alford be in the fight for it. And remember what I said? I was like, D. Alford is going to be in a fight for just having a roster spot.
Yeah.
Because I like D. Alford. I love the story. I remember when he first got here in Atlanta, we were injury riddled. I think it was that Bengals game that he one of the first games he got in, and it was a tough game. But like he's fighting for his job. Like somebody tweeted me like, "Wait, what's Nick Nash's expectations?" I was like, his only expectation for himself is to make the team. He's got to, like, guys are great coming out of college, and we hype them, and we love them on the day they sign or draft. But guys like Nick Nash, D'Arthur, they got to make the roster.
Well, I want to give you a reminder that just like that observation that Mike just gave you, we're going to be out there at Falcons training camp. I mean, it is happening now through August 13th. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will bring you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp, like Billy Bowman hanging out with the vets and the starters. And Drake London, that interview we played earlier, we're broadcasting live. Us, the morning shift, Steakhouse will be out there too, Andy and Randy. And then when Flowery Branch wraps up, practice wraps up, you can join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp is rocking and rolling on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was amazing to me with all the media gathered to see Atlanta Falcons training camp yesterday. The news spread like wildfire, because everyone got the notifications on their phone yesterday that yeah, Justin did. Fields had been carted off. And there was an injury. Something was happening. Nobody knew what was going on. But then it kind of started to taper. Panic faded. Still scary. But he does have a dislocated toe injury. Not a significant injury.
People are like, is Kirk Cousins still in the practice field? Yeah, he's over there with twos. I don't know. Justin Fields got carted off. Figured they'd pull him. Like, no. God.
Is there anything more 2025 than knowing that immediately?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, wow. Everybody just calm down, man.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I am very, and actually, we're both sitting there like, God, we hope he's not hurt. Like,
yeah.
We hope it's nothing serious for Justin Fields. Because I think this is, to me, this is that year where Justin Fields, and I know Geno Smith had a later in his career kind of renaissance of his career, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But to me, this is the biggest year of Justin Fields' career. This is where he either announces to the league, I am a starter, treat me with the respect of one, or yeah, I'll come back up your quarterback.
Completely agree. This is either he can either be Baker Mayfield moving on,
yep,
or he could be Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. And I defended Baker Mayfield for years and got clowned by people I did shows with, because they're like, why do you defend Baker Mayfield? I think he got a raw deal in Cleveland. I'm leaning more towards that with Justin Fields than ever, but Justin Fields also has to adapt. He can't go through games in the NFL and never throw the ball in the middle of the field. He just can't. If he's going to be an NFL quarterback, he has to do that. I hope he figures it out. I do. I want to see guys succeed. Especially when I know they put in work and they're from our city. I mean, he's a Georgia kid, he's a Kennesaw kid, Harrison High School. I hope he's fine and he's able to secure his starting spot in New York.
Well, the Raiders have released Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, this is something you do not see very, very much in the
really
NFL
weird.
Landscape. Designation of terminated vested veteran is what he was released under, which I think voids. I think it's $35 million. I have to look up the number in terms of his contract, but the NFLPA almost immediately goes to file grievance. I almost feel like, in a way, that Las Vegas kind of like smelled blood in the water in terms of the NFLPA, and they're like, they're in a bad place right now. Just go ahead and see if we can slip this one in there. They're in a bad spot. Let's go ahead and see if we can pull this one over their eyes. Essentially, what they're saying is, in his rehab and all the things he was being asked to do coming back from injury, that he did not do the things the team was asking him to do, did not take it seriously, did not go about things the right way, and therefore they completely outright released him and did not give him the guaranteed money left on his contract, which is, I don't remember ever hearing of a situation like this that actually successfully went through.
I remember reading this last night in MGA, and I was thoroughly confused. I was like, what does all this mean? Apparently, they think that he needed another surgery, and he balked at getting it, and that's why they voided it. So, yeah, like you said, he didn't do the things he needed to do. This was one of the biggest. It was like Kirk Cousins and Christian Wilkins in that 24 Classic. They were two of the biggest guys signed in that 24 free agency class.
Mm-hmm.
And one has been outright released where they voided his guaranteed money, and the other is running with the twos.
Well, just quick mention of the Browns GM, Andrew Berry, says that the Browns could keep four quarterbacks on a 53-man roster.
I have a hard time believing it.
Well, that's,
to be real.
That's very Cleveland.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing it. I just, it is what it is. And
that's not even counting the guy on the IR.
Yeah. It's just, and he's making money too. I believe it when I see it. That's my thing. I realize you want to keep all these guys kind of locked in and make sure everybody's battling, but dude, that's a lot, man. We're sitting here wondering if the Falcons are going to keep three.
Can I ask you a question that I think you can answer more than any better suited than anybody else? Isn't that an actual problem for them though? If they have four guys and none of them separate, two or three of them can't separate, right? At least two of them don't separate from the other two. That's a problem that all four guys, because none of them are blowing our doors off, the top of head.
It's a problem, and it's a massive problem when it comes to Cleveland. Like, it's a problem elsewhere, but if you're going to bring up the Cleveland Browns and quarterbacks, it is a gigantic problem. That is a gigantic problem there.
That jersey might get four more names on the back of it.
No doubt.
Well, coming up, we're going to get back into everything that happened yesterday at Falcons training camp. Some of the guys took the podium. We'll let you hear some of that audio. And it is Fair or Foul Friday, so Mike and Bo will be duking it out. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
Foul, like vowel. The Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift at 7:41. Mike is here, Bo's here, Allie Mack's here, and Dylan is playing country music for you, Mike.
There it is. Appreciate you.
This was just for you, Mike. I was like, let me go ahead and hook my guy up. It's been too long.
Making dreams come true.
It is. Running down a dream.
Yeah.
It's a cover, though.
I said cover.
Yeah, I know. But I'm trying to figure out who's singing the cover.
Luke Combs.
Oh, he just went to the first Luke Combs thing on YouTube.
If you want to know, I just went to Wide Orbit and typed in Luke Combs, and I was
I was looking for something
that sounded upbeat, and I was like, this is Running Down a Dream. It'll be
a voice, but I heard the background.
Can I say something?
Yes.
A country music star covering a rock song does not make it country.
Listen.
I would agree.
Talk to Luke Combs about the Tracy Chapman cover
that
you
did. I'll take what I can get. I appreciate it.
Sometimes country covers are great.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying it doesn't make it a country song.
I'll say this, though. Mike, there's more that came from.
Okay.
I got you. There's more that came from.
I don't know
if I'm excited or nervous.
Hey, there's more country music stars covering rock songs for you. Just wait.
This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Now, Fair or Foul is coming up momentarily. I'm sorry, I have to say foul. I tried. I've been like, foul. I can't do it. That doesn't make sense to me. We have a very special question involving your buddy Dave Archer, Bo. So that'll be fun when we get into that in a moment. Right now, though, let's hear some audio from Raheem Morris. He was on with Andy and Randy yesterday. And the theme yesterday seemed to be everybody talk about Kyle Pitts. So let's hear this audio that he had to say about him.
You know, it's not that it has to change because Kyle's definitely a part of those heavy wideout sets as well because he plays in our 11 package a bunch. Obviously, you know, we have Charlie, so we had to mix him in there. But we do have 12. We do have 21. We have a bunch of different sets that we can get into that we did last year as well. You can operate those things based on game plans. You can operate those things based on practice. And you can operate those things based on personnel, and which we'll do. And I'm really fired about that exposure as well.
Yeah, I think it sounds like the question was something about him like lining up at receiver and stuff. You know, the Falcons were in 11 personnel 86% of the time last year. Which was the most in the NFL.
It had to have been the most in the NFL. I don't think that's shocking at all based on what we saw.
You want to take a stab at who was second most in 11 personnel last year?
Probably the Rams.
You want to take a guess at the number?
52.
82.
Really?
82%.
I wouldn't even have guessed that much.
I know. I don't know what you think about this, but I think a lot of that has to do with the skill set of Kyle Pitts. and that they can have the tight, they can have like him out there in those situations and still have a Charlie Warner, you know, on the field, because you can kind of line Pitts up at wide receiver sometimes. So, and then there are times where he wasn't even on the field and they were in obviously in 11 personnel because they were in it so much.
Yeah. It almost,
and if you don't
to
know,
me, it feels like cheating to talk about 12 personnel with him lined up at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, it's no. 12 personnel, but it's just it's 11 personnel with a tight end, you know, with him playing wide receiver.
And if you want to know, if you guys, I know most of you know, 11 is a running back, a tight end, and three wide receivers, and then 12 has got two tight ends, two receivers, running back.
Yeah, the wide receivers are the number that's left out of the personnel pack. It's just it's interesting to me because we did see yesterday, and we watched him catch passes. At no point yesterday at all, from what I could see, was he asked to block anybody. You know what I mean? That was for everybody else. And honestly, we talked about the position battles in training camp. Tight end three is one we did not talk about and probably should have, because there's a number of names involved in that, and it's not a lot of the names that we've seen over the last couple of years. Like every year, they show up with a different tight end three. It's a Parker Hesse or Ross Dwelly or whoever else, you know, in some of those roles.
Michael Pruitt,
the touchdown man. I mean, so you never know what you're going to get from some of those spots, but the more that you see a Kyle Pitts lined up in a quote-unquote 12 personnel, which is really 11 personnel with him playing wide receiver, then you start to wonder about who else can be a blocker inside of the tight end position. So I don't know. I mean, Quatoriano was a guy that kind of popped out yesterday that we'll keep our eyes on, but I think that's kind of a wide open battle as well.
Yeah, and you got Joshua Simons, another tight end, I think, could be in that battle. He's a rookie. I think he probably would be a practice squad at first, but he was a very good guy at South Carolina the last couple of years.
And we'll move on here, but I will say that I'm doing math in my head, and I start mentioning too many undrafted free agent rookies, and I start going, okay, it's just not possible. Like, you just don't ever see that many undrafted rookie free agents being kept on a roster. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, let's hear some more audio from Raheem Morris. He was talking about preseason playtime will have the same philosophy as last year.
You know, it'd be very similar, but you make those decisions based on how much work you get. You know, so we got to get through training camp. We got to get to a certain point to see the work that we got. We got to get to a certain point with our joint practice to see what we can get there. We got to get to that scrimmage that we have and we're doing it ourselves to see the work that you get there. You got to really be able to apply those things and take along those metrics on how much work you can get, how much competitive edge you can get, how much competitive work you can get to make those decisions. So, like, we're a little far away from making those decisions yet, but obviously, you know, the philosophy, you know, anything we can do to mitigate as many injuries we can based on the work that we're able to get from the practice standpoint to determine what we need from the games.
I think as fans, and I'm guilty of it, we say, well, preseason, why do they have the games? They're not going to play the starters. And I understand it, but they take so much away from those joint practices, I feel like, these days. Like, I think there's more emphasis on the joint practices right now in 24, 25, 23, those three seasons, than there was when you played as a player.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that, and look, when I was there, we had one or two joint practices every year. We've mentioned a number of times when we went up to Dalton High School and played the Tennessee Titans, we welcomed the New England Patriots and Randy Moss and Tom Brady one year. We went down to Houston and, you know, lined up against J.J. Watt and that, you know, on Hard Knocks. And the Bengals came to town and they stayed out at Lake Lanier Islands. And so you always have those crossover ones, and they are a big deal. I would like to see them take more reps. And I like not just rest every single game. Now, do I need to see them play two full games? No. But I'd like to see the starters take more reps in the preseason because, like I said earlier, that week one matchup against the Steelers last year made my eyes bleed in terms of just operational value, just hard counts and motions and timing and things like that you were not very good at to open the season.
Yeah, I understand it. And I get it. I just think there was so many other – I think there was so many factors that preseason was one of them, but I just don't think it was the biggest or the biggest factor in that kind of we saw that week one.
You know what is a big factor is a Fair Foul Friday. As a reminder, as always, today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I think I'm going to go there tomorrow. I might be headed up to Woodstock to the minivan demo derby. So I might be headed up to get a little Buffalo's Cafe up there on 92.
I'm solo tomorrow on daddy duty. Wow. I'm going to name me get out. She's going to do like a girl's day at the pool or something.
Nice.
So if you want to do lunch, I mean, I'll bring pork and
yeah, put the You don't want to bring her to the minivan demo derby?
I don't think that'll be appropriate for her.
I'm just checking.
I mean, I would love to go to that. I just don't think she wants to go to that.
We'll see what happens.
I did see a little baby with the earmuffs.
Of course.
At the movie theater the other day. I mean, it's like Princess Leia.
Yeah, she's
like with
got
the band around. So,
yeah.
So take that to the Demolition Derby.
Yeah, there you go. She'll sleep really good. The rumbling in the, just, in the bleachers.
Yeah.
This is going to be something. It's going to be weird about like changing a diaper on a bleacher when it's just shaking.
All right.
Gotta break her in early, man.
Let's get to fair or foul. I'm sorry. It's like Bo trying to say oil, okay? It's like foul.
Or me saying mobile.
It just doesn't.
Why do I gotta catch a stray there?
Mobile.
I mean, I had your back earlier, and then you just come at me.
All right, fair or foul.
No, it's mobile.
You tell them, Drew.
More than three rookies will find themselves in the rotation with starters and vets over the weekend.
Yes, fair. Fair. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Because I think that you're going to see those roles start to expand. And in the rotation will eventually mean, and most of what we've talked about Billy Bowman a minute ago had to do with the first period of practice. By the end of practice, you did see more James Pierce, Jalen Walker, guys like that, Xavier Watts. But, and so when I look at rotation on a practice as a whole, yes, I think that will be, I think it'll be easily more than three. So I'll say fair.
Yeah, for the sake of time, I say fair, and Mike kind of summed it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair or foul, 80% of the Braves team we saw play the Giants will return for their next homestand, which is after the trade deadline.
That's fair. I mean, you're going to, if you, you'll trade is probably, Ozuna seems to be gone from all, everything I hear. I heard a weird rumor last night. I don't know where it came from, but somebody was like, hey, I hear Michael Harris might be going to the Astros. I was like, I don't know. But I think you're going to keep most of the core. A couple of relievers maybe go, so I think it's fair.
Yeah, look, Grant McCauley will be on with us at 8:20. We can talk to him about some of these exact same topics. I don't know that I'd be upset if Michael Harris was going to the Astros. I don't know. I keep looking at him, and all I can think about is Jason Hayward. Stuck in my brain. I know it's not fair, but it's just, that's how I feel.
But you got to have somebody to play center field. And unless you're replacing Michael Harris with a guy who can hit 340 home runs and 100 RBIs, his glove saves you a lot. So you got to remember that. You cannot cut your nose off to spite your face.
I agree. You can't be a bottom five hitter in the league either.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. No one's been harder on Michael Harris than me, I don't feel like.
Fair or foul, the next time we have Dave Archer on, he was very kind to join us yesterday at Atlanta Falcons training camp. The next time we have Dave Archer on, he will take at least three shots at Bo. I believe yesterday there were a solid two, if you need reference there.
Bo, can we flip this on her real quick? Fair or foul that Allie was damn near blushing with the compliments that Dave Archer was throwing at her about how good she is and how much he enjoys Allie on the show. And how Allie's great. And Allie does such a good job keeping Mike and Bo in line. And Allie's really the star of the show. I mean, you can just throw that right back at you.
Yeah.
And I'll defend Bo's honor in this one. You know what? You're the one that you were glowing after your conversation with Dave Archer yesterday. So,
yeah. I mean,
I would say it's fair though.
I noticed that. I noticed she was walking a little bit differently. She had like a little strut.
I was 5'2" after that conversation.
She was Conor McGregor walking away from that table. Yeah, she was. She almost did the gritty after Archer walked off.
I mean, I'll say it's fair because somebody will probably tell him, or he's probably listening right now. And he's like, I'm going to go over. He'll work. He'll work it in, kind of like. Remember that time with Grant? We worked in the songs that guy you were
Keith Urban.
Yeah. Arch will just do that. He'll work in every answer. He'll work in a shot at me.
He'll immediately talk to Bo and he'll go, hey, take that phone book from out under that chair that you're sitting on right now.
and then Dylan will go, you'll hear, ding,
ding. Ding. All right. Is it fair or foul for the Braves to raise their prices on their A-list members right now? Have you seen the controversy around this?
I have. And I'm going to go against the status quo. I think people expect me to say, oh, it's foul. I can't raise prices. But you have to think of the experience as a whole, and you have to think of everything that you're getting along with the battery and the game day experience. It's the best in Major League Baseball. The best in Major League Baseball. It's everybody is trying to create what the Braves have. So, yes, the on-field product right now stinks. What has the on-field product been over the last 30 years? And what is the battery is the marvel of Major League Baseball and really pro sports to an extent. So I'm going to say it's fine. I don't like it, but I'm just going to say it's fine, and I kind of get it from a business perspective.
Well, as I hate prices going up in anywhere. However, it is funny to me that fans complain about what you know that the team doesn't spend enough, and then the team raises ticket prices, and then the fans are complaining. Well, you did it in a year. You're not winning. Well, you wouldn't like it if they did it any year. I see all sides of it. I just don't like prices going up in anything, but I would be willing to pay more if it meant a better product.
I'll say this much, Braves fans, a lot easier to stomach than the Atlanta United prices going up. You're like, dude, the Braves aren't good, but I don't know if they're United bad right now, so we'll see.
One more. Is it fair or foul to say you are from Atlanta when you're really from Alpharetta, Marietta, Covington?
I'm not a good person to ask this. I'm not, but you guys are more qualified to answer this than me.
If you're from the metro area, you're from it. You can say you're from Atlanta, because if you go, so I used to do this all the time. One time I would go somewhere out of state, they'd be like, "Where are you from?" "I'm from Paulding County in Dallas, Georgia," and they would look at me. I'd be like, "Atlanta." "Oh yeah, okay, yeah." You're in the metro area. You can say you're from Atlanta, because most of the time you're doing it, you're not doing it to be specific. You're just trying to get the conversation over.
Dylan, I used to have a friend that would say, it all depends on what airport you're flying out of. You're flying out of the Atlanta airport, you're from Atlanta.
That is true enough. And then I can't agree with both sentiment more. It's just a matter of they're probably not going to know what other place you're talking about unless you say maybe like Buckhead or something like that, which is also Atlanta too. So it's just easier to say Atlanta than to explain like, "Oh, I'm from Fayetteville," which is 30 minutes south of Atlanta.
The person you're talking to is from like Montgomery, Alabama. They're going to, you know what I mean?
Then maybe, but yeah. I'm just going to say Atlanta.
I don't know how, I don't know. I'm not eligible to answer this question.
If they are regionally intelligent, you can give like, them well, a little
how,
more
just how
specific.
Far does it go? Right. Can you count LaGrange?
It's the airport. I like the airport theory.
Yeah.
It's like, I grew up flying out of Pensacola Regional Airport. Like, yep, from Pensacola.
There you go. Well, thank you guys for playing along with Fair or Foul today. Coming up, we do have the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. You can jump on the show with us right now. Ask your questions. You can also ask them via Twitter, maybe questions about training camp, questions about which Braves players will be returning, at least our thoughts on it, maybe questions about those prices that the Braves have raised for A-list members. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.